Let's bring in the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, making his first visit on this show as a Seahawks head coach. He's been on here before as a hated Trojan. Here's Coach Pete Carroll. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. What's going on?
What's going on in your life? You're not busy, are you?
Just scrambling around here like crazy, having something to do in every direction, and we haven't slowed down since we set foot here.
It's the way you like it, though, right? You like to always be moving. Somebody described you the other day to me as a guy. He looks like a little boy that has to go to the bathroom at all times.
Well, that's interesting.
We were watching you at the press conference, Bob and Weave. You look like Tyson in his heyday, moving your head like you were getting ready, like you were dodging shots over there.
You don't want him to get a good shot at you. That's exactly right.
Well, before we get into the meat and potatoes, what's the story with this? This video is the outrage. I mean, everybody is excited about this video that you did online that I even saw yesterday. About you were packing and getting ready to go to Seattle, and the guys in your house. Where did that come from? You're an internet superstar, Coach.
Well, that's just we're trying to promote we have a big celebration coming on February 20th down in L.A. With Will Ferrell. Offered to do a fundraiser for us, and so we're trying to put together a little something. He's got the craziest guys around, and those are some friends that he performs with.
Yeah.
Rob Riggle and a girl named Aubrey Plaza. They're just nuts, and so they wanted to do a little something so we can make a promotion and put it out there. So I got it on my way to the airport, met him at the house and knocked something out. We had a great time doing it. I don't think that I'm going to get any awards for acting. I think I'm, there's no great performances done there, but Rob Riggle was nuts in the thing, and I wish all of the stuff in between everything that we did was hilarious. I don't know about the piece that they put out.
Oh, it was good. It was good. Have you heard? I'll bet you've heard from people around the country that have seen this thing, right?
More people reacting
to Pete Carroll, the internet star, than the Seahawks coach.
Some of my guys said, "What in the world are you thinking?" my friends.
Well, let's catch up with a few things. I just want to clean up that I noticed in some of your chats earlier that I want to get you to expand upon. And we'll start with the comment that you've made, and I'm paraphrasing. I'm not quoting you here. I'm paraphrasing that you've said over and over and over again that I found interesting is that this job was perfect, that the implication was, Pete, that this one was more perfect than the others. That, you know, everybody wants to accuse you of leaving because of the circling NCAA vultures, and you have said on many occasions, no, this was just the perfect job. But you've never really kind of told us what made this one more special, what made the situation and the setup for the Seahawks more special than the three or four other ones that we remember that you were, you know, being wined and dined by some of these other owners.
Yeah, well, really, after all of those years down there, you know, I was rumored to be talking about every job that ever opened, and there was only a few opportunities that even took the phone calls on, that even tried to call in. I mean, it was nowhere near the magnitude that people thought as the time was going through, you know, those different changes and all that. But when I talked to a couple teams, you know, then they would present what they thought would be an interesting approach, you know, if I was interested in going. And we had a few conversations, and that was it. You know, I wound up, I think I talked in person to one owner through all that time. So there really wasn't nearly as hot as everybody thought it was. And in that, there was always something in the format, the makeup of it, or their, more than anything, their understanding of me, the depth of their understanding of what I was all about, that I just said, this isn't it. This isn't the kind of situation I want to be involved with. It was very, very clear to me. But in this case, when Todd mentioned that he had studied and watched and been aware of the approach and the philosophy and the way that I had controlled the program there, he was convincing to me that he understood that I have a way of doing things that's a little different than other people. And I have a way of approaching the challenges of the job and the people involved and the coaches involved in a little bit different manner. And the fact that he was appreciative and understood that maybe there was something really special here, or he thought there was, that that made a difference to me, because I went into a situation in New England, you know, and I followed Bill Parcells, and he's the all-time coach ever, you know, coach of the decade or whatever he was in the league, and warranted and, you know, should be considered that. And the comparison between the way he ran the program and the way I ran the program was large. It was a big draft drastic difference in the way we did things. And, you know, and so I wasn't, I can't be him. He's him, you know, and I'm my own way. And so to have expectations that you're going to get that, a certain type of coach mm-hmm. is going to disrupt the process of me being effective. When I went to SC, they got out of the way. They just let me do what I wanted to do. And we ran a program that was from top to bottom, had a philosophy and approach that was very clear and one voice. And that's how I need to do this. And when this was presented in that manner, I really started listening. And then I put together the backing of the owner, Paul Allen, the way the city has responded and supported their team in years, even when they've been struggling, the division that we're playing in, the quarterback that we had, and all of those types of things, and it just added up to be a great opportunity. So, you'd like to go into a team that just won the Super Bowl and they had the all-time quarterback and all that kind of stuff and everything set up, but you know that job isn't going to get open. So there's going to be some issues, and we have some here.
So you're saying, let me understand this. You're saying that what Todd was able to identify, that the other owner that we're talking about, or the couple of different teams that sought you out. What he was able to identify that you do things a little different, and they were not necessarily able to identify it, and that got you excited about the Seahawks
more than the other.
Define what is that Pete Carroll likes to do things a little differently is what you said. Define what that means to me. What is that?
Well, I think he realized that I need the freedom to have the voice to run the program, and if he'll create an environment where we can do that, then he's going to get the best I have to offer, and he thinks that's good enough to give him a championship football team. And Mr. Allen followed in on that one. And so when I had that kind of support, and now I know that I can do things like I know how to do them, and I don't have to do them to make somebody happy and to please somebody else's wishes in style and format, then I can go for this, 1,000%, and bring in the people that I want to bring in, and set this thing in motion, and get the mindset of this entire organization in the direction that we can all be connected and orchestrate all of that with their support, because they believe in me, and that was really important.
Okay.
Now, you're asking what that is, Mitch, and what I would tell you is we have a very clear thought and message about helping everybody be the very best they can be, whether you're an administrator, whether you're a personnel guy, whether you're a player, or you're a guy working with our guys in the off-season program, and we have a mentality about achieving in that way that takes us to a place where guys can have an opportunity to play at their very best, perform at their very best. We did that for a long time at USC, and it's something that allows you to deal with the challenges of great expectations and enormous standards that most people can't live up to, and they're unable to hold on to the level of performance under that kind of scrutiny. Mm-hmm. We found a way in our conversation in communications to get guys where they can continue to compete to perform at their very best regardless of what's going on around us, and that's, I think, what separated that ability to do that and the mindset that we have that we've created to do that. It gave us a chance to do things that people haven't, kind of unaccustomed to seeing.
And
we're going to try to bring that to the organization.
I think that fans have heard that message loud and clear. They heard it from you when you were introduced. They've heard it from you with John Schneider. They've heard it from Todd Lewicki. And we get that. I think what's happened here, though, in the last few days, and I just as a sense that I get from the listeners and from the Seahawk fans, is that even though you've only been on the job 10 days or whatever it is, Coach, they want to hear some more specifics. They've got a football team who they're very passionate about. I am, all of our listeners, very passionate about the Seahawks. You're going to love this crowd. You're going to love this fan base. And they want to start hearing, okay, we get all that. What has Coach seen when he looks at the films, when he looks at the team that won 5 games? Tell us some more specifics about, was this an underachieving team? Was it a matter of personnel? What does Coach see in terms of moving forward and trying to correct this more specifically? What can you tell us about some of your due diligence on that?
Well, here's first of all, I'll tell you that I'm going about this in a very patient manner in terms of the process of evaluating. I'm right now through about 2/3 of the defensive players on this team, and I'm doing individual studies on each guy, and I'm withholding judgment until I get my information in. But I think that the easy things to nail when you look at it is, if we're going to go about this and run the football like we want to, we've got to make sure that our offensive line is situated and stocked with guys that can block in the manner that we're going to do with our approach that Alex helps us generate here.
Alex Gibbs.
We want really athletic guys that can move and move the line of scrimmage, get downfield, get on the second level of other blocks, so that the scheme, the zone principles that we block with can be executed properly. So we need to find out, and I'm not even on the offensive side of the ball yet in my evaluation, but we need to find out which guys fit that kind of format. We got to see if our running backs can do it, run the ball in the manner that we need them to, and to make this offense click. We know that this is a highly proven, successful running approach in the zone commitment, but the running backs are big factors. You know, if you go back to the Denver days, you know, there's a lot of running backs that rushed for a bunch of yards there that you never heard about after
Correct.
They left there.
Correct.
You know, Landis Gary, where did he go? You know, where did Mike Davis go? Where did those guys
More importantly, Coach, let me interrupt. You never heard of those guys before they got there.
Exactly.
And then that zone blocking scheme made them superstars.
Yeah, our ability to find the right guys, is Julius going to do a nice job of that? You know, is Forsett going to be able to do a good job of that? We have to determine that, and I don't have those evaluations in yet. But that's a big issue, is to make sure that part of the ball, the offensive function of the line, and the style of athletes, and then the runners that complement that have to come together. And so the process is underway. You know, Alex isn't here yet. You know, we're all starting up on February 1st, but we're getting this thing rolling. And Jeremy's going to, you know, champion the whole cause of fitting this thing together so that we can really put it next. Okay, so that's part of it. The other side is where does the quarterback fit into this? You know, this league is quarterback-oriented, absolutely. And we're fired up that Matt is a guy that's played. He's been in big games. He's won big games. He's been a championship quarterback. And now we need to build it around him so that he can be successful. And so that's where it's so obvious. The easiest formula is to get the running game going. And so that's why our commitment is so clear there. A great deal of our pass attack comes off of the running game. All of the keepers and the movement of the quarterback, the things that make his area and his ability to get open spaces easy for him, it comes off of the run game. And we want to, so that, again, that needs to fit together. Matt's done a lot of stuff. You know, he's a well-equipped kid. He can throw the ball down the field. He can work the ball when he's on the move. There's a lot of good things he can do. He's feeling good. He's pretty healthy right now. We just got through that just in the last couple of days, and he's cranked up and ready to go. He's learning with Jeremy already. They've already spent time and they're working together. Matt's been, of all of the players, has been the guy that's been most available to us in these early days, so we're underway there. So then we got to fit together the rest of it too. You know, we'll see where the wide receivers fit in and find out. We don't know much about those guys. I just haven't looked yet, and I haven't had that chance to. On the other side of the ball, I'm really fired up about the job that Gus has started here. And, you know, Gus has a background with Monty Kiffin, which is, you know, he and I are best friends, and we have been for 30 years, you know, and he studied under Monty, so we're off to a great start with our communications. Danny Quinn's been in here. We've been working together to just try to formulate the personnel that we have and then situate them properly. Whether your listeners want us to be specific and tell them, I don't have that nailed yet. It's going to take us some time to do it right. We need to take our time. And in time, we'll let you know where we're going. But we have some flexibility. I'm really excited about developing Aaron Curry. I looked at him in the first hour I was here. I was trying to figure out what kind of an athlete he is. He's well-equipped. He's going to do stuff. He was a little overwhelmed last year, you know, particularly when Lofa wasn't around him to help him, you know. And so we're figuring that out. I really like, you know, Daryl Tapp is a guy that jumps off the film at me in some areas, things that he can do that we might be able to adjust scheme-wise and physically put guys in positions where they can, you know, hopefully be the best they can be. So it's just stuff like that, you know.
Okay.
There's just all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
And it just takes a while to put it together. So, and I can't rush to judgment. I won't do that, and I won't be able to please everybody's concerns
All right.
yet. But we'll get to that.
All right. Let me move it in a different direction then. When Tim Ruskell was hired as the general manager, he came on this show the day after he was hired, and I asked him what his philosophy about defense is. Now, you're a defensive guy. You've built defenses before. You're going to look at what you have here and make some decisions. He said to me his belief, his theory is, and everybody's is a little different, is that you build a defense from the line back. If you're running a 4-3, then you build the defense by giving the most attention to the front four, and then you work your way backwards. Does Pete Carroll have a theory on how you build a defense? Do you build it? Do you build it from the front?
I've been doing it for 30-something years.
All right, so share it with us.
The format that forget about 4-3-3-4 in my book. That has nothing to do with it. You would love to have really, really stout players inside out from the front. That's always a good starting point. We want to run really well. We want to have a group of guys that can fly, and we'll go to speed and agility and quickness more than size and girth. You know, that's never been an issue that we've leaned on. We want athleticism in our.
But you want girth inside. You want girth inside, right?
Not necessarily. It's
at the defensive tackle position.
Depends on the style of player that we have. There's a number of, you know, if you can, let me just give you a little spectrum right here. Think of Warren Sapp and John Randall playing three techniques, you know, in there. Those guys are, you know, 6'1", 285, 290-pound guys that had great movement. But there's other guys that play big and play an entirely different style, you know. And so there's a whole range. We need effective guys that can do stuff. Our guys that are here, I'm kind of fired up about it, more so than I thought I would be, about seeing what Meebane can do and some of these guys. They've done some things that we think we can fit with their style and make sure that, you know, we put them in good positions. Cole had a lot of play, which I don't know that you guys are all excited about those guys, but I saw some good stuff in them. I think we can draw from. I mentioned Tap to you. I liked the way Corey Redding played last year. You know, I saw some good stuff on film there that we can build on. We need a real. If you really get it right there, you want a real big time player.
Why hasn't Lawrence Jackson popped the way we thought he would, and the way you thought he would when he was a senior for you at USC?
Well, I think Lawrence was, you know, was picked in the first round. The expectations that he's going to dominate. Lawrence, you know, was a really good player for us. You know, and he's learning to be a good NFL player. He's, you know, he's still working at it. He's a work in progress. You know, I think, you know, we have some ideas about how to help Lawrence with, you know, the way he approaches the game. He's trying to be a flashy 4-3 outside pass rush guy. We need to make him a down and dirty guy that plays down after down and does all the hard work, and I need to beef him up a little bit. So I'm looking at it a little differently than you think. And you said that I thought he was going to be a great player. I thought Lawrence was a really good player for us. I didn't know that he had the ability to dominate in the NFL, but I knew he could be a good solid.
Were you surprised that he was a first round draft choice, Pete? Sounds to me like I'm listening to you that, and I'm sounding. It sounds to me like you might have been a little surprised that he was taken as highly as he was.
I'm a little surprised by a lot of our guys that got picked in the first round.
Really?
Over the years.
So, really?
I mean, I've been a lot tougher on our guys than some of the guys have drafted them. Not to mention any names, but there's some guys that I'm surprised, but they've played. You know, our guys have had a lot of success. When you look at the guys that are out there, they're playing a lot of football. But after I was with them for 5 years, you know, I kind of get used to the guys. You know, I didn't think that they were maybe as good as other people did looking from outside in. So I've always been kind of tickled by the fact that so many guys have been drafted so high. And I hope that for the most part these guys will continue to come through. But I think Lawrence is a good solid player that we need to develop like a bunch of other guys on our team.
Who's going to call the defensive plays game day? Is it going to be Pete Carroll or Gus Bradley?
No, Gus is going to do that for us, and we'll game plan together. We're totally going to be connected all the way through the process of putting it all together. As we evaluate our personnel, you know, I've played 4-3 defense for like 30 years, okay, in principle. Mm-hmm. But we've played it with 3-4 personnel, which confuses you guys when you hear that.
Yeah, explain that. I don't understand
well,
that.
Well, you can play the scheme. The scheme can be exactly the same. The style of athletes that you use at your end positions, they can be dictated by, you know, who's your best players. For instance, the guy who's going to the Pro Bowl, Clay Matthews, is an outside linebacker that we played and Brian Cushing, who has also played the same position in the years they were with us, are outside linebackers that played a defensive end position for us, and we called it kind of a hybrid position. We refer to it as an elephant position. That was a term that came out of the Niners from years and years ago. But that's 3-4 personnel playing 4-3 scheme. And if you go back and you look at a guy named Lawrence Taylor would have been considered an outside backer in some people's minds in 3-4 defense, but he rushed all the time like a 4-3 end does.
Right.
So when you guys meaning the media takes a look at it, it's a little bit confusing to you, but we can play 4-3 principles, which is what we'll do. Could be with 3-4 personnel or 4-3 personnel. It just depends, meaning that it's a defensive end or it's an outside linebacker type. That's the first thing I took a look at to see, what's Aaron Curry all about? Can he be that kind of a player that can be an outside rusher, and you would rush him, you know, more like two-thirds of the time he's a rusher, and some of the times he's a dropper, as opposed to the other way where he's an outside backer where he drops 80% of the time and rushes, you know, in pressure situations 20% of the time. So that's just something that we work out in time, and I've been through that for so many years. It's not a big deal to me. It's a big deal from as people look at it. They think it's, you know, why and what are you doing? But it's just an easy way to convert to your very best athletes is the whole idea.
Okay, so it sounds to me like you're going to play a 4-3. You just may do it a little differently with 3-4 kind of principles or with 3-4 athletes. But
you're going to teach everybody that.
You just said something that I don't think you've said so far. You are committed to the 4-3 in terms of the setup. The setup is going to be a 4-3.
I've never not been, Mitch. I've always been that way. And Kiff's deal, Monty Kiffin's deal, for all of our background has always been in 4-3.
That's
what
it.
We refer to as 4-3 personnel. I mean, 4-3 principles. So that's never changed.
Okay. A birdie in my ear told me that Pete Carroll was on a national show and said that he recommended Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian to the USC brass as the heir apparent of the successor to Pete Carroll. We got Steve Sarkisian up here. We're keeping him up here. So don't be up to the shenanigans, Carroll. First of all, he's staying here. Second of all, you're wearing a Washington Husky sweater when USC faces Washington next year. That's second of all. I want to know, you tell me right now, man to man, did you call Sarkisian and try to convince him to go from Washington to take your job at USC once you took the Seahawks gig?
No, I didn't. I didn't even tell him that I did what I did.
I didn't
even tell either one of those guys. It all happened so fast. When I was in the conversations about what my plans were, the opportunity was available to say, you know, what I think I knew as well as anybody what they should do. And so I told them what I thought the best choices were, to keep the principles and the philosophy that we put in motion together. And those two guys were the best guys to do that. But other than that, I didn't go after those guys to try and get the job. I just made it clear to the people here, which was to Mike Garrett and to the provost and to the president. You know, I just gave him my 2 cents on it, and that was it. You know, and whether that happened, I knew that was what the players would like too. They wanted things to stay the same. They didn't want a brand new regime to take over because they felt like they're on the verge of being really good again. And so it did happen. The players are happy about it. It was going to shock somebody's world, just like we did too. You know, it's going to shock somebody's world. Unfortunately for the Huskies and for Washington, I'm thrilled that Sark is still here. He's one of my closest guys, but he is such a good football coach. And more than anything, Mitch, it's just my opinion of him. You know, I mean, I love the USC program. I want them to be successful and forever. We had such a good time together. Sark is that good that he's the first guy. And let me say this to you. When I was there in the years past, Sark was the guy I had positioned with the athletic director to be the next head coach at USC. So that's how much we thought of him. That's years ago, you know, just because he's that unique and special. So you guys are lucky that we got him. And let me say this. We're lucky we got him in our area, and he's going to be here for a long time, and they're going to do a lot of winning.
And what's Pete Carroll's career win percentage at USC? What was your career winning percentage?
I don't know.
Nine-something? What's your career winning percentage against Steve Sarkisian?
Yeah, you got a bugger. I know he's one of my close friends. But
point zero zero. The answer is, Carroll, 0.000 against Steve Sarkisian, just so you know. And now another thing I got.
It's going to stay that way because we're not going to let him get in the NFL either. So
okay. I got another bone to pick with you. Is that on your press conference in Los Angeles, somebody told me that you said something along the lines of, no, I'm an L.A. guy, I'm a Southern Cal, I'm going to be here. I'm just going up there to coach. I'm going to, you know, we're staying here. We're going to be L.A. people. We're going to
That's taken out of context. Here's a reference to the foundation that I've committed to so wholeheartedly, a better L.A. down there. That's something I'm never going to leave the support of that program. It's just too important to the people and to the communities down there. We've worked so hard to help in so many different ways. That was what that point was about. My heart will always be in that program and in support of it. You know, my name is big on that, a better L.A., and I didn't want the people to think that I was leaving them, because I'm not. And so, matter of fact, now that you brought it up, Mitch, on February 20th, we have a big fundraising event. Will Ferrell and his friends are putting together a comedy night with Jack Black and a bunch of great people
from Haiti,
down in L.A. at the Nokia center down there. We're going to have a great night, and anybody that wants to buy tickets can buy them at Ticketmaster or down there and help us out. It's a great night for us, and Will was gracious to do that. So that's in particular, we're supported. That's what we did that little skit for.
Long as you understand, Pete, that people here are very provincial. They want Pete Carroll to come up here. We want you to live here. We want you to be one of ours. We want you to spend your off seasons here. We don't want you going to the airport to take trips to Los Angeles every 2 seconds. You are now a member of a pillar of the Seattle community. Are we understanding one another?
Don't you forget that now, too. All right.
All right. Well, I hope that you'll grant us an opportunity when you are more willing to speak specifically about the ball club, because I think itchy.
Give us some time. Give us some time to do our evaluations. We're not going to rush to judgment on anything. We don't need to, and we'll be. I'll be as available as you can believe. I want our people to understand what's going on, and we need their support. I want them to be connected to us in every way. I'm so pumped to go to the stadium and see the crowd respond. I've heard nothing but awesome stuff. Hopefully, we'll play to really rouse them up in a fashion that can really give us an advantage. We're counting on that.
Give me a pick on the two championship games this weekend.
Well, I can't.
Yeah, you can.
But root for I can't root for anybody but for Mark. I'm so fired up that he's in this situation. I hope that the Jets can pull this thing off. It's just an amazing accomplishment, and he's had such an incredible year with highlights and lowlights, and now here he is standing in the shadows of winning a championship. It's amazing. So I'm rooting for him all the way. And the other game, I've just been so impressed with both teams are ripping, but so impressed with the consistency of Drew Brees and the Saints. I can't believe that Minnesota's going to be able to slow those guys down. Maybe they will, but I think that they have an edge. But gosh, both those teams played so good last week. But I think overall, the consistency of New Orleans and Brees' play it gives them an advantage. But
remember, Pete.
So what do I know?
Yeah, but remember, Pete. You think Mark Sanchez should be watching these games on TV? Just finishing up a year at USC, right?
Now you want to talk about that or
not? It's good visiting with you. Thank you for coming on for a few minutes, and I look forward to visiting with you in person and getting to know you a little bit. Good luck with all the things that you have to conquer over there. Thanks so
much.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Pete Carroll, the coach of the Seattle Seahawks, with a